Hey, what's up, y'all? This is Astro Dim laying in my bed because you know it's my bed in astrology. Well, I'm not in my bed. I'm actually outside, y'all. I need some fresh air. It's finally feeling nice in my area. I'm in the Northeast. And so I wanted to take advantage, get some of this fresh air, get some of this nice sun. You know what I'm saying? And yeah, I'm really excited about it. So what are we going to talk about today? We're going to add more information, you know, do more things when it comes to astrocartography, figuring out the best planet for you. Now, the first episode, I focused on essential dignities. You know, this is, you know, if a planet is debilitated, or is it domicile, or is it fallen, or is it exalted? Is the planet in its same term? Or slash bound, or isn't it same decant? It's that type of thing, right? That's the essential dignities. Feel free to listen to that episode. I think it'll be very helpful. Again, I'm gonna say this once. I mean, I've said this once. I'm gonna say it again. Actually, I'm gonna say it plenty of times. I actually said it more than once, but whatever. We're just gonna skip that phrase, okay? Listen. I really suggest you guys to pay attention mostly to the aspects. I've seen people be in their like a line that is debilitated or fallen, but it's aspected beautifully, placed beautifully in other ways, and they actually were to thrive. They actually thrive there. Did they go through some of the issues when it comes to their, you know, fallen or debilitated planet that is like common within that energy? Yes, but you know, the pros outweighed the cons, and so they was able to thrive and they're actually really happy and successful there. I feel like with astrocartography, aspects are key, okay? Drinking my little matcha right here. Aspects are key when it comes to astrocartography. However, essential dignities and accidental dignities and, you know, other placements do help if you're trying to figure out, should I go to this place or should I go to that place? You get what I'm saying? So that's why I like talking about it. And also too, you know, I noticed that there are some folks who like are really into traditional astrology that don't see the validity of astrocartography. And it is real, baby. It is so real. It is so awesome. And so, you know, this is what you call meeting people halfway, but also utilizing all of astrology. Because, you know, I do consider myself a modern astrologer, but I definitely use a lot of the traditional principles as well, because they're great, right? And so for people who kind of just are focused on a specific type of astrology, I get it, right? I understand you want to do what the ancestors did, the ancients did. I understand that completely. I think it's dope. We need everyone from all different aspects of astrology, right? To get different perspectives. I think it's very important. However, right, if I can help people and meet them halfway, to help them see the validity of certain forms of astrology, I would love to do that, right? It'd be great. It'd be awesome. It's dope. It's cool. It's great. All right? I promise you. All right. So let's go ahead and talk about this shit because it's wild, right? We're talking about sect this time. And sect is S-E-C-T, sect. And then you may be wondering, okay, what's sect in astrology? It basically defines which planets are better for you, whether you are born in the day or in the night, right? There's certain planets that are more activated, more accentuated in the day, and there's certain planets that are more accentuated and activated at night, all right? And it, you know, and a lot of it too, it's not just transit energy, it's your natal energy too. So we ourselves have day charts and night charts as well. So you want to know if you have a day or a night chart? You know, if you have the sun in houses 1 through 6, in either of those houses, you have a night chart. If you have the sun in houses 7 through 12, you have a day chart. Now, this is actually a point that is really interested, and as a person that really fucks with Placidus, even though I do whole sign too, I really, really fuck with Placidus. I'm gonna say my little piece here. Now, there's some people who have their energy, they do whole sign, right? And they say, well, my sun's in the first house, but it's above, it's right behind the ascendant. So that means it's above the ascendant. Or my sun's in the seventh house, but it is, you know, right below the descendant, right? These are people who kind of follow like whole sign and maybe equal sign, right, type of energy. So if your sun is in the first house and it's above the ascendant, right, so it's in a degree lower than the descendant, then you are a day chart. Because the ascendant is the eastern horizon. That's the point. That's the most eastern horizon. That is the point that dignifies or specifies if you are a sun, if you are a day chart or a night chart, right? That's why Placidus and other house forms or house systems, they specify the ascendant and they start the first house with the ascendant, right? So I'm going to say that. If you have sun in the seventh house and you're using like cosine and the sun is at a higher degree than the descendant, then you have a day chart. I mean, you have a night chart, excuse me. All right. So wait. Did I say it right? Sorry. If you have a seventh house sun, you're using whole sign and your sun is, you know, below the descendant and is in degrees that is below the descendant, then you have a night chart. Okay. So even though it's in the seventh house, if it's below the descendant, you have a night chart. Okay. So I do want to make that clear. But if you kind of like, but I get along more with the day chart, even though you said I had a night chart or vice versa. Do you, I guess, you know, you can maybe find the logic to figure out, you know, what's what. But that's my belief, you know, that's what, you know, I'm just going off of that, okay? But anywho, let's continue. Now, the sun, of course, is out during the day. And so, the day chart folks, people who have the sun between the seventh house and the 12th house, you know, the sun is their luminary. So it is their important luminary. It's their important planet that brings light to the earth, right? And so we focus on the sun, but the people who have the sun in the between the first and the sixth house, the moon is their luminary. So that's the planet that gives them light, that actually gives the support for them. So they focus more on the moon and the moon phases, right? And these distinctions are very important when it comes to, like, you know, the Arabic lots, you know what I mean, which is like the powers of fortune, powers of spirit, parts of, you know, Eros and all of that. Okay, so that's really, 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 really important to understand, is that your luminary is based on if you have a day chart or a night chart. So you have a night chart with your sun within the houses 1 through 6, the moon is your luminary. If you have your sun between houses 7 to 12, the sun is your luminary. Okay, now the both of the luminaries have teams, right? So for the benefic, which is the, you know, the planet that usually gives us like things that we want, the Jupiter is the day is in the sun's team, so it's in the day chart team, right? And Venus is in the night chart team. So if you have a night chart, you know, you want to focus more on Venus giving you things that you want. Now, it's not that Jupiter won't give you the like bountiful things that you want and need, but not like Venus though. So if you have a night chart and you do like planet appreciation and shit like that, you better focus on Venus. Now, for day charts, Jupiter is in your team, right? So if you want to do planet appreciation, focus more on Jupiter, right? Now, there are exceptions, right? So for instance, me, I have like Venus in the first house. You know, I will probably do some Venus love too because I embody that Venusian energy. But I cannot negate or forget about Jupiter because that is my benefic planet because I am a day chart, right? So there's that. Now, there's also teams within the malefics. Now, there is this like thing where people feel like, oh, malefic equals bad. And I really don't like that. And this, I know there's some people who hold on to that idea. I don't. Malefics just gives us these lessons that we have to learn. And it depends on, you know, your malefic, depending on your sect, which one gives you those like constructive lessons that kind of you can build from. And it's kind of like you can kind of be motivated and driven to take action. And then there's some, and then there's the other malefic that just like gives you sorrow and pain. I'm not even gonna front. Like it stresses you the fuck out. There's, you know, so there's a difference between a malefic that stresses you the fuck out, and a malefic that just gives you that constructive criticism, more of that like discipline and shit, right? So Saturn is in team day chart, right? Mars is in team night chart. Okay, so for the day chart folks, we're focusing on the sun, Jupiter, Saturn. For the night chart folks, we're focusing on the moon, Venus, and Mars. All right. Now, there's like a difference between like what planet is going to give me the most benefit, what planet is going to give me the most pain. Now, because you know, let's talk about day charts first. Because you know, Jupiter is on your team, right? What Jupiter is going to do is give you the most benefit for the people that has day charts, right? But the Saturn's not going to give you the most pain. Saturn's going to actually give you that constructive criticism, that those lessons that you have to learn, and it can be a little bit tough, but you take an action and you learn them easily, you integrate them into them well. You know what I mean? It's not that it's easy, but it's like you're able to get it quickly, and it doesn't come with a lot of shit and drama, right? This is why I really believe that my Saturn return, although tough, wasn't as tough as other people's Saturn returns, right? Right. So there's that. Now, and actually I got proof why I believe the, like, if your sun's below the descendant, then that means that, and you're using whole sign, that means you are a night chart. But I'm gonna keep going, you know, off tangent. All right, so there's that, right? So for day charts, you know, Jupiter is going to give you the most benefit, right? Give you the most good things. Saturn's going to give you that constructive criticism and that toughness and not that toughness, but the things that you need to learn that's a little bit difficult, so you could be of the earth, right? We're in 3D, we're you know, in the tangible earth. We can't just wish everything into existence and manifest everything to existence. Sometimes we got to put in the work. We have to find the balance, and that's fine, right? That's fine. It depends on people's charts. Some people literally, they're here to tap into that, manifest whatever the fuck you want and get come into your life. But there are some things that we do have to be physical and active in. We're on earth, okay? So because we're on earth, we have to literally be physical and do things sometimes, right? And we can find joy in doing those things too. Saturn could represent that energy for sure. Now, Mars for day charts. Mars is our headache planet. Mars is that malefic that's gonna beat our ass, right? That's gonna like get that smack in the face, where it's like a true square in the sense of like when it comes to aspects, where you're like, it's giving you a lot of tension, it's giving you a lot of annoyance and stress. But Saturn for us represents more of that like square in which you're like, it's a more of a call to action, you know, oh, something happened, let me go try to resolve it. You know, Mars for day charts is kind of like that square that gives us mad tension, and it's a headache, and it's stressful. We don't know what the fuck we're gonna do, and it's like, oh my God, help me, Lord, please. That's what Mars is to us, right? And so I know a lot of people are like, okay, so what's Venus for day charts? Venus is a benefic too. It's helpful, it's supportive. No way near like Jupiter. Jupiter's gonna give you all the motherfucking abundance, okay? Nowhere near like Jupiter. So you still give love to Venus and shit. And Venus will be some type of support for sure, but no way near like Jupiter. It's to the point where people even ignore Venus a little bit. I wouldn't do it, but you know, that's it, right? So there's that. Now for night charts, right? Night charts, for y'all, Venus is the planet that's going to give you the most. It's going to be the most benefic, going to give you all the blessings and the things that you want and the material things, all that lovely stuff, right? that's what's going to be that supportive planet. For y'all, Mars is the planet that gives you that constructive criticism, that little things that you have to like take action, like it's a call to action. It's that that situation that's a little bit uncomfortable, but you can work through it. And for the night charts, it is Saturn that is going to be that headache, that's going to give you that restriction, that's going to give you that annoyance, that's going to be like, if you feel like it's causing havoc, right? And I want y'all to think about it like this, right? Think about what Mars represents. Mars is that motivation, drive, passion, ready to go. I'm ready to push forward. I'm ready to take action. You know, I'm ready to go, right? And so if you're a night chart, you run off that type of energy. And so, of course, Saturn, the planet that tells you to wait, to restrict you, to listen to authority, to not follow your passions without applying logic, of course, that's going to be the headache planet, right? Same way with day chart, right? For us, we function off of discipline, responsibility, authority. That's how we learn these lessons, and that's how we work through things. And so, of course, a planet that's telling you to just go, to just do, to just feel that passion. Sometimes you gotta have to like be like the fool card and just go off of the vibes alone to kind of push through and like sometimes fuck the authority, right? And to bulldoze in. Like, of course, that planet is going to be our planet that gives us a headache because we don't function that way. That's not how we move and work the world. You understand what I'm saying? So that's how that goes. That's how that goes. So with all that being said, you know, tell me y'all, what's y'all's day? Are you a day chart or are you a night chart? Right? And those planets are the planets that's actually going, that's associated with, you know, day charts and night charts, the dinoral and nocturnal planets, are going to be the planets that's actually going to be a little bit more supportive for you, right? So as me as a day chart, and excuse me, remember I'm outside, y'all, so excuse the noise. Me as a day planet, you know, I have to be mindful if I'm trying to move to my Venus line and my Mars line and my Moon line, okay? I do have to be mindful. And when it comes to luminaries and sect, right? To me personally, I feel like it's not that one of them is going to be horrible to you or like going to give you a little bit of pushback, right? I just feel like, from, you know, the sun is going to always be very supportive of me more so than the moon. Some people are like, you notice, like some people are like sun people. They really like to look at the sun and focus on the sun. The sun's so interesting. They're into it, right? But some people just love the moon. And so in tune with the moon, they probably have a night chart. Right? So for the night chart people, the moon gives them more support. It's not that the sun doesn't do anything, you know what I mean? But the moon, it just really fills them up and gives them that energy, gives them that go. You understand what I'm saying? So with me, I have to be more cognizant. Do I want to move to my Venus, Mars, or Moon line, right? You know, if I'm trying to choose between a place and figure out which place is best for me. Now, I am a special case because, you know, Venus is in my first house, right? And so I embody that energy of Venus. So Venus is probably not going to be that bad for me for other reasons too that I'm about to explain in a second. You know, other people, you know, or like for instance, other people who have maybe have like Sun Cassini Venus, like, yeah, Venus is going to be good for you, right? Venus is making like wonderful aspects. It's like the best aspect of the planet. Yeah, go to your Venus line. That's me. Venus has the best aspects in my chart. Yeah, I'm gonna go to my Venus line then. But, you know what I'm saying? Of course I would do that. You know, so you have to kind of like think a little bit more and be considerate of other things. But the sect does help because, you know, my Mars and my moon, they're kind of harshly aspected. Actually, my Mars and moon are squaring. So, you know, there's things I have to consider if I want to move to my moon or Mars line. And I may want to lean more to my Jupiter line, my Saturn line, and my sun line. That's the lines I probably would rather move to. It might give me more support because of the sect, right? So
would that be, so for, again, for night chart people, you know, you have to be mindful. Do I want to move to my sun line? Do I want to move to my, my Jupiter line? Do I want to move to my Saturn line? Is that good for me? Now, this is the trick. This is the gag, right? Okay. I'm trying to figure out how I should approach this conversation. Okay, I'm going to approach it like this. This is the gag. Remember I said that your houses shift. Your planets don't shift in astral cartography. When you move outside of your birthplace, your houses shift. Now, you are always your natal chart. And you always have to look back into your natal chart. However, the relocation chart does express the energy of the place that you are at. Like, it expresses the experience that you may have, because now these planets could be in different houses, you know, and so you're noticing more energy, you know, a little bit more than you typically would, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, if I move over to like Bogota, Colombia, I now have my Venus right up on my ascendant instead of just in my first house, right? It's like right up on my ascendant. So I'm going to feel that Venus in the first house way more. It's going to be way more potent than it is in my birthplace. And I'm going to feel that, experience that. Because remember, this is like astrological, astrology 101 right here. The angular houses are the most like potent houses. And so when a planet lands there, that energy is going to show out, is going to be very apparent, and it's going to be more powerful, right? And so this is the basis of astral cartography. And that's why we focus on the, you know, the cardinal points or the angular points, ascendant, descendant, ICMC. Okay? All right. So, you know, a lot of times you move far enough, right? Your whole fucking chart shifts. And so now, you know, in what you might be a day chart, but when you're from the US, right? You move over to fucking South Africa in Johannesburg, now you're a night chart. And so you're like, oh. Right? Now, in that case, right, you may feel at that place like, wow. Like, I actually am connecting more with Venus, Mars, and Moon energy. However, that's not your new chart now. Your chart is always your natal chart. So you always have to keep in mind of those planets. So this is what I would do. If I were to move to like Melbourne, Australia, right? And now I got a night chart. Those fucking dineural planets, the sun, Saturn and Jupiter, are always going to be very important and very supportive of me. However, because in this relocated place, you know, I'm a nocturnal chart, the Moon, Mars, and Venus, those planets may be way more significant to me in aspect there. You know what I mean? Like, when it comes to transits, like, so if there's a transit and aspects are happening to those planets, I might feel it a little bit more. I might be more sensitive at night. I might be more sensitive to the moon changes, the moon changes with the cycles and it moving to different signs every 2.5 days. You know what I mean? Like, Mars and Venus are more often making like significant kazimis and connections with the sun. And like, you know, there's other things that are like happening and that are significant with these fast-paced planets, right? These fast-ass planets, Moon, Mars, and Venus. And so, you know, you do have to kind of like keep that in mind too, when it comes to actually the living experience. However, when it comes to where should I move, you still have to keep in mind of your, you know, the dineural planets, because you are a day chart. And the same thing vice versa. So you are born at night, you're from the US, but you move over to, you know, Melbourne, Australia, you may notice the transits of Jupiter, the sun, and Saturn are more significant to you in this place, right? But still, overall, in your overall life, wherever you move in life, you know, the night the nocturnal planets are always going to be the most important. Okay? There's that. Now, I will say too that if you start applying local space, that's a whole nother thing, right? So if you start to apply local space, okay, I'm going to give you an example. Say I'm a day chart. I am a day chart. I move over to Melbourne, Australia. Oh, in that relocated place, I'm a night chart because now, you know, my son's in the 12th, but in Melbourne, my son's in the 5th now, right? And so now I'm a night chart. And so although overall in my life, no matter where I move, I'm going to focus on Sun, Jupiter, and Saturn. In Melbourne, you know, Mars, Moon, and Venus, their transits are very significant to me, right? There's the wind right there. Okay, I'm going to let it pass. So if I were to try to figure out what's the best place for me to live in Melbourne, right? What neighborhood should I move in Melbourne? Then I'm going to use local space, right? Because local space can zero in more on neighborhood and areas within your space, right? Than astral cartography can. So I do local space. I would say focus more on those nocturnal places, because in Melbourne, I'm a night chart. So maybe my Mars, my Venus, and my Moon lines might be a little bit more significant there. Now, again, I want y'all to keep this in mind. Aspects are the most important in astral cartography. So if those night planets are jacked the fuck up in your chart, aspect wise, do not go. Okay? This is for, you know, but if you are really trying to, like, say you got like all my planets have harsh aspects, right? Really bad aspects. Or like all my planets, you know, I don't have any harsh aspects like that, and I don't know where to move. Tap into that, to the sex stuff then, okay? That's when you tap into the sex stuff. All right? And so let's do it vice versa. Again, say I'm from the US, I have a night chart. I move over to Melbourne, Australia. Now in that relocated chart is a day chart. I had my son in the 4th house. Now it's in the 9th in Australia. So now I have a day chart in this relocated area. I'm going to focus on Sun, Jupiter, and Saturn lines in local space to figure out the best location for me if those planets are aspected greatly. Do you get what I'm saying? I hope y'all getting me here. All right. Now, what's happening is like, okay, you know, what's happening again is that the planets, the houses are shifting, and so it's making the planets end up being in different houses, right? But there is also a hemispheric sect as well. So remember how I said that if your sun is in the 1st through 6th house, you have a night chart? Well, you would want your moon, you would want the moon, Venus, and Mars to be in the upper houses, right? So if you are a night chart, you want the night planets to be in the higher end of the charts, you know, houses 7 through 12, right? And you want the sun planets, I mean, the dinural planets to be in the lower end of the chart, Sun, Jupiter, Saturn, right? Because that means that the planets are hemispherically inset. And that is because, like, okay, we want more attention on the nocturnal planets. We want the nocturnal planets to be the most seen. So we want them in the houses 7 through 12. You understand what I'm saying? And we want, you know, the sun dinural planets to be in houses 1 through 4, where, it, you know, they're in the lower ends, they're at the bottom of the chart, more towards our personal life and experiences, right? And it's vice versa, hemispherically. If you have a day chart, you want the dinural planets, which is again Sun, Jupiter, and Saturn, to be in houses 7 through 12, being above the chart. And you want the planets that are in that are nocturnal planets to be in houses 1 through 6. So that's Venus, Mars, and Moon. You want them in that section, right? And so again, like, this is if you dive deep and you're looking into the relocation chart, like the actual circle chart, relocation circle chart, and you're really trying to figure out, like, oh my God, I have so many options of where to move. Like, I don't know where to move. Let me look into the sect of things. And then you can check that out there, right? And that may give you a better experience as well. Now, this is the reason why I'm bringing the hemispheric sect is because, you know, remember I said that, you know, Venus, I'm a day chart. So Jupiter is my, you know, benefic that's in set, you know, the sect benefic that I want to fuck with, right? But Venus is my best aspected planet, right? And so I'm going to lean towards the Venus lines instead. But the what gives me that extra support is that Venus is also in sect, because my Venus is in the first house. So my night, the nocturnal planet, the night benefic, is in the like lower end of the chart. So that gives me more, that gives my Venus even more support, right? And so that makes me want to lean a little bit more to my Venus than my Jupiter, even though I'm a dineural chart, even though I have a day chart. You get what I'm saying? So that's how, why, that's why I want to lean into my Venus. So that's like kind of like the whole sect thing, y'all. You know, so when I you know, you may hear me all the time, like, I want to move to my Venus, I want to move to my Venus lines, and I want to experience that. And you're like, girl, why would you want to? Your day chart, like, you know, first of all, again, I don't want this, I don't want you to think because I'm a day chart, I can only move to my Jupiter, Saturn, Jupiter line. Again, aspects is king here. Aspects is the most important part of all of astrology, okay? Okay, what anybody says. The most important part of every single aspect of astrology, okay? But the thing is, though, is that you do sometimes have more support in certain planets that you have to keep in mind, right? But it's not the end-all be-all. And that's my whole thing with, you know, a lot of these wonderful, amazing supportive systems in traditional astrology. A lot of people think it's the end-all be-all, and it's not, okay? I just really want to make that clear. I will be losing out if I don't experience my Venus line. I'll be tripping if I don't want to experience my Venus line. Right? So there it is. But, you know, with my Mars line, you know, my Mars is interesting because my Mars, first of all, is out of sect. It's conjunct my midheaven in less than 1 degree. My Mars is at 29 degrees, right? My Mars is aspected harshly, right? But it's in domicile too, and it does have some sort of power in it because it is in an angular house. And so even though it can give me a headache, it also is powerful as shit, you know? And so you have to balance things out. It's like, okay, so how should I go about this then, you know? And because of the aspects, I kind of want to lean away from my Mars line. I mean, I'm experiencing my Mars line now. I live at my birthplace. I know the experience is not that great. I mean, I do have support because, again, it's domicile. Like, my Mars is in Scorpio. It's domicile. And I am getting to follow my passions and kind of just go off of feeling and go off of that passionate energy and being able to tap into that. But, you know, I stumble along the way because of how it's placed. Right? 29 degrees. You know, it's a night planet and I'm a day chart, but it's in the 10th house, an angular house, mind you, you know? So all its ignorantness of Mars that I have in my chart is going to be out loud, but also all the goodness is too. So, you know, you have to think holistically. And when people say you have to look at the whole chart, this is what they're talking about. You know, you can't just run off of one thing and just be like, this is it, and I'm just going to roll off that. This is why I teach what I teach in my astrophotography course. Feel free to take a look at it, astrodim.com. Yeah, I got the .com now, y'all. But yeah, astrodim.com. You know, there's like, you know, 3 slashes that you can click on, and then, you know, it says relocate. It's the relocation, like, landing page, pretty much, to learn more about it. And just take a look. If you have any questions, hit me up if you want to take the course or whatever. I do payment plans and all that too. But this stuff is really important. You have to look at the things holistically. Okay? So that's my sect podcast episode. I hope y'all like it. I hope the mic treated me well and you didn't hear too much crazy background noise, right? Cross fingers. And thank you guys. This was fun. I liked it. Let me know if you have any questions and stuff like that. Okay? Much love. Peace.
Since we're all on the internet, internet protection is probably at the utmost importance, especially now. I like to do this through Surfshark's VPN services because, you know, they cover you with a VPN. They cover you with a whole bunch of other services as well that protect you while you're online. It's very, very awesome. Right now, in the link of my bio, you can get 80% off of Surfshark VPN for 2 years, all right? 80% off. It is a deal. Now, my favorite thing about Surfshark is that you can add multiple items in there. So you can add your laptop, your phone, your iPad, all of that. And multiple people can put their items in there too in your family if you have a big family like me. So check out Surfshark VPN. Go to the link in my bio to get that 80% off and enjoy. All right.